So we'll come back together. I always like a question like this when there's children and parents in the same room. That's always kind of fun to hear what's happening. Some of you, we have some three levels on this too. So anybody willing to share? So your family growing up, more conflict-y in terms of heated, angry, loud, whatever words you want to use? Or was it more quiet, silent-y? Yeah. Loud. Okay, gotcha. You just, yeah, that's right. That was simple.
I'm sure no one's surprised.
Right, yeah. Everybody's like, what? Oh my gosh, I can't believe that. Yeah, and I feel like as soon as a conflict would rise, you would just hear a drum beat in the background. Boom, 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 boom. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, it's intense now, yeah. All right, anybody else? What was it like in your household? Anybody willing to share? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to talk about passive aggressiveness today. Yeah, that's always a fun way to deal with conflict. I like the violence, too. You just added that. Yeah.
I just want to get at the passive aggressive.
Nice. Anybody else? Oh, man, everybody's so quiet on this one. They're all like, I don't want to talk about that. Yeah, Kate.
Well, we were very overt, loud, physical, and I was telling her that she was going to get mad at my brother.
Wait, when your mother would get mad at your brother, she would chase him, okay. I like that. And she got some exercise. So, yeah, so it was a win, win, win. Yeah, I know, it's really good. Yeah, Nicole. What conflict? There you go. I was looking someone. There you go. What are you talking about conflict? There's no problems in your house. It was all perfect and wonderful, and especially to everybody from the outside, I'm sure, correct? Yeah, I like that. Her answer was, what conflict? We didn't have conflict growing up, which is another way to deal with things. I want to throw you a different idea than win, 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 which is God's goal for conflict resolution, which is intimacy. And that most of the ways that humans have dealt with conflict through the centuries, it doesn't necessarily bring intimacy. It tends to bring some level of distance. And humans are actually pretty bad at conflict resolution. We don't resolve things real well. I know for me, this has been a huge learning curve, going from my household, trying to figure it out there, growing up and going into my own household with my wife, and then having children, and now my children are getting older, and there's just this learning curve, and it's kind of constant, trying to figure out how do you resolve conflict. And it's pretty clear that mismanaged conflict, most of you probably know this, mismanaged conflict plays a major role in virtually every divorce. It wreaks havoc in countless relationships where people are separated, maybe not physically, but they're separated emotionally. We know this with coworkers or spouses or parents and children, siblings, neighbors, friends. Mismanaged conflict leads us to a lot of unhealthy patterns and a lot of emotional disturbance. It can be tough. What often will happen, too, is parents who don't know how to manage conflict will provide that for their children, and their children don't know how to manage conflict. And then they go and raise children who don't know how to manage conflict, and you see this cycle continuing generation after generation. So in this series, we start today, which is, how do we make relationships last? This is going to be the first step, resolving conflict. And everything else that we're going to talk about in this series over the next 5 weeks is going to build off of that foundation. The resolving conflict, it's really important to know how to do it. If we can learn to do this, all of us, you will go a long way to having healthy long-term relationships. This is the key. It starts here. It's really helpful. And we're going to use a simple sentence from Jesus, real simple one. It comes out of Matthew 18:15. And Jesus is just, you know, he's basically just talking about dealing with conflict, and he puts this out there right in the middle of it. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. It's a simple little statement, but it's a good idea for us to consider because I think Jesus gives us kind of a simple step-by-step process of how to deal with conflict. And some of us just don't know what we're doing. For some of us, you were in a family that just didn't do it well. And so you've grown up and you don't know how to do it well. Maybe you're a child now and you're trying to figure that out. And you're like, how do I deal with conflict? And I feel so young and I'm not sure how I'm supposed to handle it with people who are on a different level. So here's the process. I'm just going to kind of put it all out there for you. On the left, you're going to see the verse. If your brother or sister sins against you, you go and point out their fault just between the two of you. And if they listen to you, you have won them over. And we're just going to go through these seven things. If there's a conflict, you go to the person in private and discuss the problem for the purpose of reconciliation. The list of steps is how Jesus kind of says this is how you resolve conflict. And it's a pretty basic, simple way to do things. I want to start by saying that there's actually seven choices here. Each one of these gives us a choice. We can resolve conflict in each level of this, or we can stop. If we start resolving it with number one or two or three or four, we will get progressively healthier. If at any place in here, though, we stop, we tend to go to an unhealthy place. So we're just going to go step by step through each of these. Now, a couple of things about it is you can resolve conflicts if they're 24 hours old or if they're 24 years old. Some of us don't have conflicts that just have happened in the last week. Some of us have conflicts that happened in the last year or the last decade, or some of us even decades. And we don't know how to resolve it. We're not sure what to do. So let's start with this. If there is conflict, the first step here is to acknowledge the conflict. What I want to do, though, in terms of acknowledging the conflict, is I want to replace the word if. And I want to put when there is conflict. Because it's a lot easier to acknowledge the conflict if we can come to an agreement that conflict is inevitable. If you decide to have any type of relationship with any other human being, whether it be extremely close or just some sort of acquaintance relationship, at some point there's going to be some level of conflict. It might be small, and very often it starts to grow larger and it can even become pretty big when there is conflict. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say this. I believe conflict is necessary for relationships to grow. I think conflict is important. See, what happens is when there's an absence of overt conflict, a lot of times it means the absence of real intimacy. We've talked the last couple of weeks, last 5 weeks, about getting closer to people, empathy, compassion. How do you do that? One of the things that happens is when I get closer to people, I start to reveal my insecurities. I let them see me, and then I see them. And when we reveal ourselves and intimacy happens with even just one other person in this world, we are going to see things that are difficult in them and in us. We're going to see things that are different in them and in us. There's going to be personality differences. There's going to be ways they did things. They're going to have grown up different, whatever it might be. And conflict is going to happen. So what we want to do is say that that's okay. That's life. You're not going to get away from it. And if you try to run from it, it's going to find you. So what if we made a commitment to face relational conflict squarely in the eye, to deal with it, and deal with it, hopefully, appropriately? Some of us are in relationships where we don't look conflict squarely in the eye and we let it deteriorate. Some relationships that are significant go away even because we don't want to deal with the conflict. It could even be a friend or even a parent. And we try to ignore and we don't want to deal with it. So, I say the conflict is not the problem. The combat or silence tends to be the problem. Conflict is a disagreement because of differences. Yeah, it's going to happen. I get this daily with my own wife. We just constantly have differences in who we are and how we react to things. Sometimes we will watch a movie that always kills me because we'll watch a movie and I'll go, here's what I got from that. She goes, I didn't get that at all. And then she comes to another side and I'm like, wait, what do you mean you didn't get that at all? And she comes to a whole different point of view. That is our life constantly, her seeing things from a different lens. And so there's a little bit of conflict that happens. There's differences. There can even be difficulties in that when it becomes something like, how are you parenting your child or what do you want to do with your life? That's not a problem. The problem is when we go to combat, which is a fight, a battle, active fighting as if in war. Some of us know this. We know combat. And we have been mistaken to think that that's conflict. Combat is raising things to this level. Silence is another way to make conflict negative. It's a long period of time where people do not talk. We talk about it, you know, basically like giving someone the silent treatment. But sometimes the silence is we continue to talk, but we never talk about the actual issues. And weeks go by, and months go by, and years go by, and there's this conflict that never gets resolved. And it kind of seeps out in other places. So conflict is not the problem. Combat or silence tends to be the problem. By the way, when I say silence, it's always okay to have a cool down period for any of us so we don't go to combat. But going too long tends to be a problem. So what do we do with this? All right. If there is a conflict, you, Jesus says, you own your responsibility. If you are honest, you will have these same thoughts that I have sometimes. At least I hope some of you have these. I hope I'm not the only person that thinks this. But when there is a conflict, I think these kind of things. Let the other person come to me. They started it. It's not fair that I should have to be the one to take the first step. Sometimes what I think, because I'm more vocal, I will think in relationships, why do I always have to be the one to go to whomever? Owning your responsibility, though, means that we go beyond that initial thought of putting it off on them and keeping ourselves safe. It's interesting here because in this step, Jesus says that we take the first step when someone has wronged me. It's also interesting, there's another place where Jesus says, when you've wronged someone, you take the first step and go talk to them. Basically, whether you've done something wrong or they've done something wrong, or this is really how it usually works, both parties, it's your responsibility. Jesus puts it squarely on your shoulders. No matter if they're at fault and if you always go to them and let them come to me, they started it, whatever, it's us. It's a pretty big responsibility Jesus kind of puts on us. Go deal with the conflict. He keeps going. If there's conflict, you own your responsibility. And then he says, go, which simply means don't ignore it. Don't ignore that there's conflict. It's so much easier to ignore it, though. I get it. Like, it's a lot easier to ignore it. But to be the type of spiritual people we want to be at the journey, we have to deal with this stuff. Not just here at this church, so we'll talk about that here in a few minutes, but with each other. With our coworkers and our parents and our kids and our siblings, we need to deal with this stuff. It will make us healthier and it will make the journey healthier to help people. There are two nasty secrets with conflict. The first one is that some people actually like having enemies. And that's the absolute strange truth. Some people like it. What happens is when resentment and anger happens, it actually brings physical arousal to some people. It does. What happens is more adrenaline starts to get secreted. Sugar is released in you. Your heart beats faster. Blood pressure rises. Your pupils open wide. And you get a feeling of power and control when you have someone you are in conflict with and they're really screwed up. You just feel it. And it sounds strange to some of you who don't know this feeling, it feels good. In fact, can carry you a little bit. Some people like having enemies. The other dirty little thing about, you know, not ignoring conflict is some people learn to stuff problems. This is the other side. What's always fun is when two people get in a relationship, especially if they get married and they've each learned one of these. And now they have to deal with each other in these completely polar opposite points of view. People who, in number two, grow up in these homes where family members never acknowledge anger. We don't deal with anger. There is no anger. I liked what conflict? What are you talking about? They grow up in these homes and they learn to stuff it because expressing anger means you're a terrible person. But stuffing problems to avoid conflict does not work very long. Imagine it like this when you think of conflict and anger and you're upset. Think about an anger detector, much like a smoke detector. So what does a smoke detector do? I mean, let's just think about it. A smoke detector tells you something is wrong and needs to be resolved. If you're in your house and it's 3 a.m. and all the smoke detectors go off, you don't just go, huh, well, that's a problem. You know? No, we go, oh, there's an issue, and I better resolve it because I don't want my house to burn down. And so we resolve it. Anger is the same thing. When we're upset at someone and there's conflict, anger does the same thing. Actually, smoke starts to come out a little bit from us. And when you detect it, you know something is wrong. And anger, by the way, like conflict, is not the problem. Some of us have been told that as well, that anger's a bad thing. Anger's going to happen. You're going to feel emotions. But when we ignore it, just like a smoke detector, the relationship starts to burn down. Sometimes it almost feels unsalvageable because it just keeps burning. I've said before at The Journey that anger is a second emotion. Usually the heart of anger, the root of it, is words like hurt. If you take people's anger and you go down to what's really causing it, it's hurt or frustration or fear. I'm scared. Avoidance kills community. Let me encourage you, don't avoid conflict. Hit it head on. At The Journey, we hit conflict head on every time. It's annoying for some people because we don't just let things fester. One of my favorite little verses in the Bible, Paul is talking to the church at Philippi. If you've never read Philippians, let me encourage you to read it. If you don't have a Bible, take one of our Bibles, write your name in it. It's yours. You can have it. Read Philippians. It's a beautiful letter that Paul writes. And there's so much poetic language in it. And then right in the middle, like he's writing this beautiful poetic language, right in the middle, he writes this little thing. I plead with Euda, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Paul cares so much that these two women are having a problem in this church at Philippi, that there's conflict in this church, that in the middle of his letter, he doesn't name anybody else. He just puts these two women's names out there and goes, you guys need to figure this thing out. It would be like if I went away for a couple of months and I heard there was a problem between Trish and Liz. And I wrote a big, long letter to the church to tell you how you're all doing. And just in the middle, oh, yeah, by the way, these guys need to get along better. They've got a problem. In our day and age, we think, whoa, you're calling them out. That's not right. Too far, man. But that's what Paul says. It matters so much to deal with conflict. It matters. You've got to resolve it. The pastors here at The Journey take this extremely seriously. When we see a conflict between anyone at The Journey, even if it's us and someone or some two people we see, we deal with it head on. Some of you know this. We move in to one or both and we say, you need to deal with this. And we'll even say, let us know if you need a mediator because we can't let conflict fester. We'll help you because it kills community. So, if there's conflict, you own your own responsibility, go, don't ignore it, and you go to the person. You don't gossip. This one is a really interesting one. I'm going to make this so simple for everybody. This was taught to me like 2 decades ago, and so I'm going to throw it to you because it made the problem very clear. When there's a problem, A goes to B. I taught this to my 3-year-olds. I think you can get this. A goes to B. This was helpful for me because I didn't go to B sometimes. I did this. I went to C. That's it. There's your boom, boom. And what happens is when A doesn't go to B and A goes to C, B is left out of the loop and these people are together and they're cornered away. And they have no relationship really in this way with these two. And then C's got a whole bunch of D's and E's and F's and G's, you know, all that, that they can go talk to. Can you see how quickly a church could disintegrate because of conflict? Really simple. If you've got conflict, go to B. He said it. You go to the person. A goes to B. When A goes to C, Everything messes up. The only time you should ever have a third party involved is if they are a mediator. Let me finish that Philippians verse I put up earlier. I'll read the whole thing. I plead with Euda, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. That sounds really good, but he keeps going. Yes, and I ask you, whoever he's writing to, there's someone he's writing this specifically to, my true companion, my friend, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. Earlier in Philippians, he talks about people who are in the family of Christ being of the same mind. Doesn't mean they have to agree with how, you know, all their beliefs and everything they do with the world, but that they both are going to come around for the common purpose of pushing for good in the world. And when there's conflict, you're not able to care for other people. You're just caring about yourself and if you're going to win. So all Paul says is, okay, you guys have a problem, Trish and Liz, and I'm writing this, then I am going to come into this and I'm going to say, Ed, my true friend, can you please help them? Don't go to anybody else, but I need you to come help these two people. This is kind of cool stuff when you think about it. This idea of resolving conflict. How cool would it have been if those families we just talked about that we grew up in dealt with things in this way? A goes to B. Only reason you bring someone else in is to help mediate and get reconciliation. Next thing, in private. If there's a conflict, you go to the person in private. Be sensitive. Okay, I wanted to show just how bad this is, because this is the number one thing that kills families. Kills families. So, I was trying to figure out a clip to show this, and I had a bunch of like serious ones, and I came up with one that was, to me, kind of humorous, but it showed it really well. So watch this, and we'll come back and talk about it.
Can you not do that? It's disgusting.
You know I have soft teeth. How could you say that?
Oops.
Excuse me for a second. All right. There we go. There. Oh. Okay.
That's nice.
Everybody enjoying their meal?
Hey, babe.
Yeah?
How about we take the beer sign down until our guests leave and then we can discuss it?
No. No. I'm gonna leave it up. I think it ties the whole room together.
Okay.
Jan thinks Hunter's very talented. You know what? I don't think he's that good.
At least he's an artist.
BFD, I'm a screenwriter.
And I'm a candle maker, but you don't hear me bragging about it.
No, all you do is you get me to try to work on my rich friends.
For an investment opportunity.
Man, I would love to burn your candles.
You burn it, you buy it.
Oh, good. I'll be your first customer.
But you're hardly my first.
That's what she said. $200 plasma screen TV you just killed. Good luck paying me back on your $0 a year salary plus benefits, babe.
I'm gonna get going.
Here's what is interesting to me. When people want to deal with their problems, specifically with their families, they never go to a private setting. They often deal with it in a public setting with a whole bunch of people around. This isn't that abnormal for some families. They may not be breaking things and stuff like that, but arguments start to get heated because there's 10 other people there. It makes sense that when Jesus talks about, he says to go in private. Be sensitive. As you watch that, you can start to understand this is why conflict in families fester. Do you actually have a conflict with someone in your family right now? I mean, is there? Maybe you don't deal with that at the Thanksgiving dinner. Maybe it'd be better to go to the person you have the conflict with and deal with them right there. Let me encourage you, in fact, to do that and discuss the problem. If there's a conflict, you go to the person in private and discuss the problem. Direct communication with love. People will often communicate, as we heard earlier, passive-aggressively sometimes. Sometimes people get angry. But we get into the conversation and the love part goes away. We discuss the problem with the anger or with the passive-aggressiveness. The other problem that happens is we don't really have direct communication. Here's what we do. We get really close to finishing off the problem, to telling what the real issue is. It's that last like 20% that I don't know if I can say this to you. It's way too vulnerable. It's going to cause you pain or me pain. So we don't say it. And we get right up to the edge of saying the real stuff and we don't. Direct communication with love says, often when we actually say the real thing, something happens where we can actually find intimacy by being even more open. Let me encourage you to go that last 20% as you discuss the problem. Last thing, if there's conflict, you go to the person in private and discuss the problem for the purpose of reconciliation, resolution. The goal in conflict resolution is not to win. This took me a long time to figure out. I just assumed the only reason you resolve a conflict was to win. It's not to win. It's not even to score points. This is it. Conflict resolution can lead to deeper intimacy. That's the goal. I've seen this with friends and family before. I've seen this with my spouse. I've seen it with my own children even. I've seen it with me and my own children. That to go all this way, all those steps, and have direct communication with love, and go that last 20% and put it all on the table and deal with it, brings resolution. And most of the time, it can bring deeper intimacy if we do this well. The way to think about this, then, is that I just saw this happen for me with a close friend. This has just happened in the last 10 days. It wasn't that big of a deal. It was something actually pretty small. But it was something that was hurtful. And there was a conflict. And that person, the you, came to me. And they came to me and they didn't ignore the issue. They didn't go to anybody else. We actually met one-on-one. They came in private and were very sensitive. And we discussed the issue. And there was forgiveness and everything was good. In fact, by the end, number 7, for the purpose of reconciliation, resolution happened, and I can say that we actually found deeper intimacy, a closer relationship. Conflict can be positive. We gave you a handout today. I'm going to do a whole bunch of handouts, but today we gave you one. It's real simple. It just says, resolving conflict from Jesus, it's all of these things. And then it gives you Matthew 18:15. You may wonder where you stop on this. It might be worth you going through and going, I tend to stop around number 3. I don't mind going to them, but I do it pretty poorly, and then I go to someone else and I gossip. Or we may stop just at number 1 and go, no, there's no conflict. We're not going to deal with it. And it might be important to kind of look through this. And as you do it, maybe think of some questions. And I'll close with these. I'll just put these up on the screen, and then I'm going to pray. Are you in conflict with anyone right now? Is it something that's been festering? Maybe it's something you've gone pretty far with this. You've gone to like step 5, but you just can't go to step 6 where you get it all out there. How long has it been going on? Days? Weeks? Years even? Are you finding yourself too heated? Because that's kind of where you naturally go, is to a more loud, angry, heated place. Are you finding that your anger instead goes to maybe being too silent, possibly? And you've ignored it for too long. Have you been responsible to go to them, as Christ talks about, for resolution? We threw a lot at you today. Matthew 18:15 is a pretty cool verse. I encourage you, maybe take these home, and this week just pray over this. Pray over anything going on in your relationships. Pray over your own spiritual journey with other people. And hopefully we can start to resolve conflict. Next week and the 3 weeks after that, we're going to build on this idea and get pretty practical with it. All right, let's pray. God, thank you for us as humans having to learn to live with one another. I know that sometimes we produce conflict in ways we don't even realize. I've even seen that in my own life. Just times that I've produced conflict and didn't even know it was happening. I want to say, God, that I have been thankful in the last couple weeks as I put this talk together. I've been thankful for those people who have come to me. The people who have come to my door or called me or sat down with me. And there was some conflict and they wanted to deal with it. And God, I'm thankful for the courage that you've given me to do the same at times. I pray for that courage for each of us. And maybe we start with little baby steps just by praying for another person, making this a real spiritual thing. And as we pray for them, maybe we want to end up dealing and resolving the conflict. God, I thank you for every person in this room. Every person here is a child of God. No better, no worse than anybody else. And thank you for letting us learn to live with one another alongside you. It's in your name, Christ, we pray. Amen.